Hey guys, this is Chris with a great tip for you. If you're looking for a great way to monitor other advertisers' ads on AdWords, Jason and I recommend Brand Verity. It's kind of like a smoke alarm for your campaigns. It works like this. When other advertisers bid on your trademarks, or they use your brand name in their ads, or you just want more information about your competitors, Brand Verity helps protect your most valuable PPC traffic by giving detailed reports on the search ads for your most important keywords. Right now, Brand Verity is offering paid search podcast listeners a free month of monitoring. Just go to brandverity.com/podcast. That's brandverity.com/podcast to try it out.
Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to episode number 52 of the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, a man whose talented fingers will do magic not only inside of your AdWords account, but up and down your body, Chris the Strategy Slinger Schaefer!
Oh my.
Chris. Everybody, welcome back to episode number 52 of the Paid Search Podcast. Chris, I told you I'm coming in hot, and when I say coming in hot, yeah. When I say I'm going to stick it, I'm going to stick it. So as always, folks, it's great to be joined by Chris, my co-host, the Strategy Slinger, because you're all about that B2B strategy, Chris. So Chris, how are you doing today, bro?
Well, I'm smiling. That was a unique experience. You know, Jason, you said that our listeners are really always excited to hear how Jason's going to start the show. And, yes. Last week
you cut my yes off.
I cut your yes off.
And let me tell you, Chris, in a man's life, there's only one circumcision, okay? Not two. So you cut my yes off, and I'll promise you, don't make that happen again.
A little behind the scenes info for our listeners. You know, if you would have heard it, it sounded disappointing. And it was such a poor start to an exciting an informational podcast, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to start clean, right? You know, after the yes, and it was. I didn't realize it was a personal blow, and I apologize.
Well, Chris, maybe you did us a favor, maybe not. All I'm going to say is I did get emails about it, and Chris, but we're going to move on. So I forgive you. The people forgive you. I came back today with a banger. I think so.
Yeah.
And you guys can let me know with the feedback how you like that intro. So Chris, today, number 52, I'm hyped, man. Why AdWords isn't working for you, common pitfall. This is the stuff we run into every single week. People who use AdWords, we know AdWords works, but for whatever reason, for them, AdWords doesn't seem to be working. So we're going to go through the list today, the common pitfalls people run into with Google AdWords and why it doesn't work for them. So Chris, we break it down into two different areas on why people have pitfalls with Google AdWords. Mindset, and then technical issues. So why don't you kick us off here with the mindset, irrationally optimistic people who think day one everything's going to happen. I know you run into these people. Let us know this problem.
You know, it's difficult to explain to the people that have irrational concepts of what an AdWords campaign can do because they don't think it's irrational. So that's a difficult start. But I'll give you one example, and maybe this might catch some ears on people that do have irrational considerations for an AdWords campaign. I once was talking to a client, and he said that, you know, there are this many people looking for an AdWords campaign, or excuse me, this many people looking for a eye doctor, this much in this area. And he told me, you know, of that, we should get this many clicks. So he based his volume of clicks on the interest, or let's say, percentage of people in that population or zip code or county, okay? So he then assumed that those many people would then convert. If we get that many people, then those people would convert. And so he came up with this astounding number of conversions and clicks and traffic that we would get from a search campaign. And in the end, it was completely impractical. We got a small fraction of that. And so I would say for the people that have irrational concepts, what you have to start with, the basic thing you have to start with is just a basic understanding of how AdWords works and how it does not work.
Right.
If you know that, then you will no longer have irrational concepts of what AdWords can and cannot do.
Hopefully, once you know if it works, if you won't, you won't have irrational. But Chris, that's a great point. It's hard to deal with irrational people because they don't know they're irrational, or else they wouldn't be irrational. But there's a lot of people who fall into the trap thinking that basically every click is going to be conversion. And that's just not the way things work. So overly irrationally optimistic people, that's one of the mindsets that will kill you with AdWords, because it won't work the way you're thinking, and then you'll just stop. So the second mindset issue, Chris, is I call it the measurement fetish. It's just people who go over the top with measuring everything. And we measure conversions, we measure leads, but these are the people that want to know exactly which individual searched which keyword, became which client. And a lot of times these people, since they're overly measuring things, they inaccurately measure things, because sometimes they measure things that there's not a way to measure them. And because of that, they think AdWords really isn't going as good as it is, where really it could be bringing in 75% of their business. So that's something I deal with all the time. The next one, Chris, is a lack of measurement. I don't know about you, but I run into people who I explain how to measure leads and phone calls and all that, and all we have to do is put one piece of code on your website, and they don't do it. And they just say, I don't want to mess with that. So I usually kind of give them the speech, hey, this is super important. It helps me do my job better in terms of getting data and knowing which keywords and ads lead to conversions and all that stuff. But if they're not up for it, they're just not up for it. So what do you do in a situation like that? Do you just kind of let the blind be blind?
You know, that's honestly what happens. Whenever someone doesn't understand the value of conversion tracking, or just lacks, you know, the trust of, you know, tracking conversions in AdWords, they say, well, I know when someone calls, and I know, you know, if AdWords is working or not, although they have no idea who generated that phone call, you know, whether it was an organic or a referral and stuff like that. They might ask, but a lot of times that, you know, unless you're keeping a spreadsheet or something really detailed, you never really know. So in the end, when it comes down to a client that is very set on their ways and does not want to keep tally on that kind of thing, you know, we just kind of say, it appears you're doing well. You have to fall back onto those secondary metrics, which is, it happens. I've done plenty of campaigns with it.
It happens, and you and I can manage campaigns where that's the case and still do a good job, but man, it is like a huge lost opportunity when someone could set up conversion tracking or take an afternoon to work with their web developer one time, get the codes on the website, and then the person managing the AdWords account, either a freelancer or agency or employee, it really helps them do their job. So people who have a lack of respect for measurement, that's one of the mindsets that can kill you with Google AdWords. The next group, Chris, are people I call hopeless bums. These are people who just give up too quickly. I don't know about you, but I'm working on an AdWords campaign actually for myself right now. I'm like 3 weeks into it, and I'm still making changes every day, changing strategies, trying to figure out that nice strategy that's really going to get me the leads I want at the cost I want. So I usually give it 90 days to change up strategy. That's a little excessive, but sometimes that's what it takes. So do you run into these people who just, if it doesn't work in 2 weeks, they throw up their hands and give up?
Yeah, 2 weeks. I wish I had 2 weeks for some of those people, because my record is like 2 days for my my shortest campaign ever run before the client says it's not working. And you know,
able to tell us what kind of industry that was, or would that happen too much?
Oh, sure. It was carpet cleaning, I think, was the most recent one. I don't remember what my shortest one was. Most recent one was 7 days. There was one from several years ago that was, I think, 2 days. I don't remember what that was, but it was service industry is probably one of the worst. They have to get calls every day. You know, we're talking locksmith, carpet cleaners, you know, things like that. People that, you know, you don't think about, you know, when you call and they're chomping at the bit, ready to get, you know, their people working and moving and out of the office. That kind of stuff gets tedious, and if they don't get a certain number of calls per day, you know, they're hurting. They're losing money every minute that they don't have somebody out on a job. So It happens, right. And I understand why, because people know what their bottom line is. They know have to get that stuff out there. They have to get moving and, you know, have to get food on their family. And, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yep. But, you know, the crazy thing is sometimes if they would just give it another 2-3 weeks, they could have a system that provides food for their family for the next 10 years. So you just got to give it some time sometimes and let the AdWords manager figure out a strategy. And the last mindset issue, Chris, is potentially losers, not losers from the start, but potentially losers, people who set it and forget it, people who do a good job with their AdWords account, get things running the way they want, and then just go on pure autopilot and don't check it at all. And they miss out on things like new features that come up. And then the thing that really kills them is competitors every day potentially are trying to make AdWords campaigns that are better than yours. And they come out of the woodwork at any time, and you got to be ready for it to adjust.
Here's one reason I'll give people an idea on why your campaign's failing and why you need to check your account at least once a week. Google has a new feature that catches me all the time. It's my job to manage AdWords campaigns that catches me all the time. I put a negative keyword in that triggers a warning because I have that same keyword as a keyword, a positive keyword for lack of a better term. So I get caught in saying, hey, dummy, you just put sofa as a negative keyword, but you're trying to sell sofas. You just negated 45 of your keywords, you know, right. So that kind of stuff. You may do it on a Friday afternoon on a whim, and then you come back a month later and realize, where's all my traffic? What happened to everything? You know, it's because, you know, those little things like that, Google will warn you, and you'll never know it unless you check the account.
Same thing, Chris. Sometimes if you're running broad modified or broad match keywords, you'll get a certain kind of traffic initially, and then something in the algorithms and all that stuff will change, and you'll start showing up on new keywords. And sometimes those new keywords aren't good. Like one time I had a moving company in the beautiful city of Waco, Texas, which I know you've have a reputation in.
Yeah, and a reputation. I've robbed 4 banks there. Yeah, thank you.
Where I know you spent some time, let me say. Okay. And a moving company there. Turns out, Chris, not a big area. Tough time spending $1,500 a month on a moving campaign there. And we were doing broad match because we need to get a bunch of volume, but there's not a ton of volume there. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, our broad keyword started picking up movie theater search terms, like movie theaters in Waco and all this kind of stuff. And that's not something I would have as a negative keyword from the start because there's no reason to. But we caught that because we're in the account every week. But if we didn't, that could potentially be hundreds or thousands of dollars over the course of years being wasted if you become a loser, a set it and forget it loser, as we call them. So, Chris, that is the mindset section of common pitfalls. Anything to add to that list, or do you think that pretty much covers the kind of mindset issues that you can run into as an AdWords user?
No, I think that's good. Okay. I think someone's mindset can definitely make a big difference. I'm curious to see what we got for technical. What technical aspects of a campaign setting, targeting, all that kind of stuff can make a big difference?
If you think mindset can mess you up, Chris, technical can supremely mess you up. This is where you can really do some self-damage in AdWords. The first one is your favorite, Chris. Search with display select. Running a display and search campaign at the same time, because, man, that is a great idea. Why don't you take us through that one?
I don't think there's anything else I could say that would be more eye-opening than I was once in a like a Google live stream or something like that. I mean, reading official Google documentation, and they said, do not use search with display select. Always split your display and split your search.
Right.
You didn't hear it from me, people. That was from Google, right? Google. So forget it. Don't do it.
Yep. But sometimes it is the default that they put campaigns in, so it's a little bit weird. But definitely don't run search with display. The reason why is your data gets all jumbled. You don't know where your ads are showing. You don't have a clear goal. And things usually don't work out well when you do that together. Next technical issue, Chris, is broad match only. And if we ask ourselves, what is the most common issue we see in accounts that we take over? probably broad match only keywords.
Absolutely.
They're easy to add. You're going to get that nice little rush of traffic right from the start. You're definitely going to get clicks. You're going to spend your budget, but it's not always the best thing. And running broad match only can just show you up on way too much stuff. And Chris, I've actually am experimenting a little bit in my own campaign with broad match keywords with super low bids. And it's crazy the amount of stuff that you can show up on. It's just nuts. So running broad match only keywords as your only the only keywords you run, that's kind of a technical mistake you and I see a lot. The next one, Chris, is lack of negative keywords. And why don't you clear up for us what that means?
Right. So I think the problem with negative keywords is there's not an option to immediately add them to the campaign. Let's say, you know, you've set up plenty of new campaigns, right? If anyone's done this before, you know, there's a step. It says start your first campaign. You click that button. It takes you through all the steps. You need to create your ad group. You need to create your ad. You need to add your keywords. Then you add your billing and then you're going, right? And it will also remind you. It'll pop up there and say, hey, don't forget you. Yeah, I like that sound effect. That's royalty free, straight from my mouth. So it'll tell you, hey, don't forget about your ad extensions. It could really help if you put site links on here, all this kind of stuff. It'll remind you about that. No way do they remind you anywhere to put negative keywords. And I think this is a huge missing point for most campaigns is you don't put a couple negative keywords. I mean, we've talked about links before in the past that we've shared with this huge master list that I use all the time of negative keywords.
You know,
500, 600 negative keywords that I think are really good default negative keywords to have. Doesn't mean you always copy and paste all of them. Sometimes you want to spot check, but very important critical aspect to contain in your campaign.
Yeah, it's just so people know, two pros that do this, me and you, I always start AdWords campaigns with at least 100 to 200 negative keywords, always, right from the start. And then I'm adding them for the first month almost every day, depending on how big the campaign is. Definitely every week.
Yeah.
And they're great. You know, it's crazy how much, like today I added the word T-O, as a negative keyword, and it can just block so much garbage. So those help out a bunch, and not having them can supremely screw you up. So the next one, Chris, is going too fancy with your keywords. And this is something people from the marketing world, old school marketing, seem to bring to the table too often. And this is where you go too wide with your keywords and you target things that are related but not relevant. So what example from the moving world is people might target the word moving boxes, because their mindset might be, well, anyone searching moving boxes is going to need a mover at that same moment. But that's not the way things work, as you and I know. And especially at the beginning of a campaign, it's really smart to just stick to the bread and butter, something like movers Chicago, if you're in Chicago, movers near me. Stuff that shows the person actually wants exactly what you offer at that exact moment. And stop with this marketing, get in front of the right audience stuff on search. That's not the place to start a campaign. Do you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I hear it all the time from people, and you're right. It tends to be, as I said at the top of the show, it tends to be people who do not understand the basic idea of how AdWords works and what type of traffic quality it is that you want. Right. If you're a plumber, you don't go after keywords that says, my toilet is broken, right? You wait for the people to decide that they want a plumber first. They're going to make that decision. So that's the kind of stuff you're going for.
Pat on my back, we got through a plumber discussion without any kind of gross, immature joking about poop, feces, stains, clogged toilets, mouse in the toilets.
Why are you still listing things?
Well, I'm just saying we got through
I didn't curse plumbing. Today at school today, Mom. I didn't say F or S or A.
Right. I'm just celebrating, Chris. You know, we didn't talk about diarrhea. We didn't talk about diapers getting flushed down the toilet. We didn't talk about smells.
Why are we still here?
We didn't talk about any of
that. Budgets that are too small.
So I'm proud of us, Chris. So, yes, the next one, Chris, talking about straight up scrubs, people that come to the table with, like, thinking they're going to – part of it is small budgets, and then part of it is irrational thinking about what a small budget can do. People come to the table sometimes perfect example, carpet cleaners. They think they're going to spend $500 a month and get 20 cleaning jobs a month. How does that work when each click is like $10? The math doesn't work. And the biggest problem, Chris, with small budgets is when your daily budget gets too small to the average cost per click. Then you just get in big trouble because the system doesn't really work itself. So that's one of the biggest ways you can just shoot yourself in the foot right off the bat is not bringing a big enough budget to the table to start with. And sometimes, Chris, I've had people who try to advertise with me. Their budget's too small. They don't have a website. Those two things, or a good website, those two things seem to go together. So I tell them, get your website up and running, save up for a budget to reinvest in your company, and come back later. So even though you can run super small budgets on AdWords, $300 a month, $500 a month, and it works, sometimes people just come too small. So the next thing, Chris, is advanced location settings. This is one of your favorites. You love to tell people where their traffic is coming from when you audit an account. So why does that mess people up right from the start?
Well, Jason, actually, I mean, yes, I do like to point this out. But honestly, here's the truth. I'm not going to, you know, this show is all about truth in AdWords, right? And the fact
great.
Is...
we should have named it that.
Truth in... That is a good one.
Truth in AdWords.
I'm going to start that podcast. The fact is, if let's say you don't choose advanced location settings so that you only get traffic within your targeted area, and here's the thing.
It's not the worst thing, but...
We're talking about 5% of your spend. I would not, Jason, I mean, I know you're on a roll here, but I would not put this one as something why the campaign's not working right. I know. I just knocked you off your horse, but I don't think this fits in here. Don't walk out. Oh, you're
so, Chris, I don't know why you're laughing, but I understand where you're coming from. But here, let me counter. Let me counterpunch you because
okay.
I'm a counterpuncher. Let me counterpunch you. Do you ever go back into your settings and turn the advanced location setting back on to include people searching
yes.
for? No, you don't.
Yeah, yes, I did it this week. I did it this week with a client who said, you know,
that's because you suck, but. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Chris. I'm just kidding.
How's that? I thought we were having a friendly argument here. Now you're just throwing insults.
I'm sorry. All right. But please, I'm curious to know where this came up.
Well, because a client said, you know, it was a lawyer and said, you know, I do get calls from people that are outside of the area that want to hire someone in my area that are searching. So, you know, I do get calls from people like that. Say, hey, I'm in this area, but I need someone in this area.
Well, the reason people listen to the show, Chris, is to get better at Google AdWords. So why don't I include you in that topic, in that group, and let me give you a little idea on how you can run this better. Okay, let's go deep. Let's dive deep, Chris. If you turn off your advanced location setting to only include people in your area, actually in your area, which is what you and I would do most times, me almost every time, you most times. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then you only get traffic from in your area. And if someone wants traffic from people outside their area, searching about their area to hire someone in their area, you have two options. One is the way you do it. You just click on the setting. And if we get a little traffic from Egypt, a little traffic from India, who cares as long as most of it, it's only 5%. You know, why don't you just put a gun to their head and take 5% of their money every month, Chris, because it's only 5%. So, no, I hear you. And I know what you do. You go in there and you add those other areas as excluded locations. The problem is, for me, you have to add a ton of areas as excluded locations. So what I do, I create a sister campaign, call it the national campaign, target whatever area makes sense, like the United States, exclude the area your little lawyer is in, and then target broad match modified keywords. Say he's a divorce lawyer in Memphis. Divorce lawyers, Memphis. Memphis divorce lawyers. Family law lawyers, Memphis. Very locked down with broad match modified across the whole country, and then anyone searching for that sees the ads. And you don't have to deal with adding excluded locations. I hate that setting, Chris.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I like that.
But I hear you. I hear you.
I like that. That's a good point.
And honestly, I've had clients that have told me, like, hey, we appreciate why you turn the setting off, but we want as much traffic as possible. Just like you, they don't care about a little bit if they can get a lot for it. So some people are very volume focused and they leave that setting on. But that's my opinion, Chris. And it's interesting we split there. So the next one up, Chris, is underbidding and overbidding. Do you ever run into this where people just bid way too low or bid way too high and spend up their budget?
No, not really. I know you probably are. No, I can't really think of a really another one that I really can think of on this. So yeah, I'm gonna just break your horse's leg and stop you right there because I don't know. Yeah, I mean if I have a campaign that's spending and doing well, I tend to increase the bids for those keywords. I mean, my strategy is typically to run the heck out of the stuff that's generating good right. traffic. And, you know, if I might be able to get more clicks on second position or third position, I really don't care, because if that keyword works for me, I want to be first every time for that keyword. I want to get hoard as many conversions as possible for right. that kind of stuff. So I push hard, you know, on those kind of keywords. So
I hear you. Now, honestly, you know what? You're right. I don't see it that often, underbidding or overbidding, but I was just thinking in the mindset of a new person to AdWords. If you get on there and say divorce lawyer clicks cost $15 and they think they're going to get clicks for $3 the first week, they don't get hardly any clicks. I can see that scenario.
I'd have to say if someone's listening and they are living in a dream world that AdWords is, I use this term loosely, but an affordable solution for getting traffic, cheaply. I mean, you're in for a world of hurt, because unless you're willing to go with the display network and just get a bunch of traffic and hope 0.1% converts, right. You're not going to get what you're looking for. AdWords is no longer the area where you can say, I want to lower my CPC. You don't get lower cost per click, you know, just because you work a campaign really hard and you can drop a few percentage points off. It's not really about that. It's about getting a lower cost per acquisition. It's not necessarily a lower CPC, because when there's advertisers out there that are willing to outbid you, your quality score is only going to do you so much good. You're going to have to pay money. You're going to have to bring those bids up.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris. AdWords is known, I think, for most people as the most efficient, effective way for, quote, small businesses to compete and market their companies. But just because it's good for small businesses and efficient and lower cost compared to like a huge TV campaign, that doesn't mean it's the cheapest thing on the block. Like, you've got to bring things to the table. You got to bring the right website. You got to bring the right intake, people answering the phones. You can't just throw a little bit of money at it and think it's going to work. You have to bid up for your keywords. And when you bid up, you have to make the most of that traffic. So Chris, that brings us to our next one. And this is just lack of relevance. So people run into this all the time when they start a campaign. It's having ads that don't match keywords in the ad group and landing pages that don't match ads or keywords in that ad group. And a lack of relevance will kill your quality scores really bad if it's really blatant. And that'll kind of kill your campaign right from the start, Chris. So anyone listening to this, I think it's a good practice. See what's getting the most clicks for you, your keywords, the most volume, like over the last month. And see if some of those ad groups don't make sense in terms of having two different types of keywords in those ad groups. Because as we talked about before, Chris, just putting keywords in new ad groups won't do anything for you.
Yep.
And that's something I think about all the time, because you found that great piece of documentation. And because I see that repeated every week falsely. But when you do change ad groups, it gives you the ability to tailor the ads and the landing page to those keywords. So relevance is key right when you start, Chris. And then the last couple here, Chris, to me, it's all about the phone. Like, a lot of advertisers just run their ads when either they're not able to take calls or they don't take calls seriously enough. So do you see that on your dimensions tab, like a lot of missed calls? And whenever I see that, that's a huge red flag for the client.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's when I jump into a campaign, I'm looking at a campaign for the very first time, I'll see that the ads might run 24/7, you know, and they're a service company and they're not right. an emergency service company. So they have off hours. And that's one of the first things, you know, I'll notice, say, hey, I see a lot of calls that are, you know, coming in and they're only 6 seconds long, or, you know, you guys aren't answering the phone for a lot of these things or stuff like that. So I'd say if you're having an issue with, you know, your campaign, you're not getting the leads, make sure you're only showing ads during times when you're willing to answer the phone. because right. I'll tell you, I've talked to enough business owners. When it comes down to, you know, most businesses, people like to call. That I would say that's typically the number one source of a lead compared to anything, you know, filling out forms and stuff like that. And most people that call are much more hot leads moment.
About to say that exact same thing. Yeah. I have a mover I'm working with. We're tracking lead forms, but we're not tracking website calls yet. And I've been trying to get him to make that commitment and track website calls. And he's saying, you know, the leads we're getting, they seem to be more shopper people than what we get from Yelp and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, well, hey, that's because we're only doing people who only have enough interest to fill out a lead form and say, yeah, sure, call me back anytime over the next 2 days. As opposed to the people, man, I'm getting evicted on the 30th. I got to find a mover today. I'm picking up that phone and calling you. Yeah. It's all about the phone, Google AdWords.
Yeah, my toilet's overflowing. How about I fill out a form and wait for you to call me? No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
that's not a hot lead. Absolutely not. Absolutely. And I'm not willing.
That's just not a hot lead in general. I guess. You don't want to be there. So, Chris, no. I've got a couple interesting, I would say, advanced technical issues. But you know what? Maybe I want to save them for the YouTube channel and have a little after-hours show one-on-one with the big guy here, Chris. So maybe I can entice you to stick around with me for a few minutes. But Chris, I think we went over good pitfalls and pretty much all the pitfalls that new to AdWords users can run into. Because nothing makes me sicker to my stomach, Chris, than someone who wants to try AdWords, who's going to try it, who thinks it's going to go great, and then because of their own issues, doesn't have success with it. I love the platform. I know it can work for almost any kind of service business, especially. You just have to do some things right, and I think this episode is going to help people do things right off the bat, mentally wise and technical.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. So, Chris, you did such an awesome bang up job, bro, taking us out last time. So why don't you take us out again?
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. As Jason said, we are other places. You can see our faces on our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. You can interact with our faces on the famous Facebook page. And the Twitter account. All of that info can be found at our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. Be sure and check out our YouTube channel. We have some special stuff that we're working on there where you can watch our faces talk at the same time. Pretty fun stuff. So be sure and leave a review on our iTunes account. We appreciate those, and send in your comments, send in your questions. Jason's telling me I have to go. Thanks for listening. See you next week.